An audio Bible adventure. The story of Esther. Part 1. The making of a queen. A retelling of Esther 1 and 2, verses 1 through 17. About 2,500 years ago, in the city of Shushan, the capital of Medo-Persia, there lived a very pretty and caring young woman. Her name was Hadassah. Hadassah's parents had died when she was a child. Fortunately, she had a cousin named Mordecai, who held a well-paid position as an official at the royal palace in Shushan. When Hadassah's parents died, he adopted her as his own daughter, giving her the Persian name Esther, meaning star. Mordecai was one of the many Jews who had chosen to stay in Medo-Persia rather than go back to Jerusalem. Ever since the days when King Cyrus ruled Persia, the Jews had been permitted to return to their land. Some 45,000 Jews had chosen to do so, with Zerubbabel as their governor. Yet hundreds of thousands remained behind. King Cyrus had been kind to the Jews, allowing them to work and worship God as they pleased, which made it easier to stay than return. During the reign of King Ahasuerus, the good relations continued. Some, like Mordecai, found good employment in the palace, and others became involved in various kinds of business throughout the country. As an official in the palace court, Mordecai, along with other royal servants, sat in the king's gate near the palace entrance, where he awaited assignments passed down from the king. One evening, Mordecai arrived home and brought startling news that Queen Vashti had been banished and the palace was in an uproar. The night before had been the grand conclusion of a 7-day feast that King Ahasuerus had given for hundreds of the chief nobles and governors from the 127 provinces of the realm. The attendees had been drinking and enjoying the spectacular entertainment, and the king, merry with wine, had summoned the queen to appear, wearing only her royal crown, and display her beauty before him and his rowdy guests. But Queen Vashti refused. King Ahasuerus was furious that his order had been defied. He immediately conferred with his most trusted advisers, and it became irrevocably decreed in all provinces that Vashti would never again enter the presence of the king. Her place was to be given to another. The people of Persia were buzzing with excitement. The king had decided to seek a new queen. Beauty contests were ordered in every province, and the loveliest maiden from each would be brought to the royal palace at Shushan for the king's inspection. From India to Ethiopia, young girls began to arrive at the royal house of women, where they would undergo months of special preparation and beauty treatment. "My lovely young Esther is far more beautiful and worthy than them all," Mordecai mused as he observed each new arrival. "Surely God would want her to be queen." The more he thought about it, the more he was convinced that it was Esther's destiny to be a Jewish queen in the house of King Ahasuerus. That night, when he arrived home, Mordecai took Esther aside and told her his revelation. At first, Esther was amused, and then shocked as she realized his seriousness. "Who, me?" she said with a laugh. "Why, father, surely the king would never choose a Jewish girl to be his queen." But Mordecai was so sure of the idea that Esther agreed to go with him to the palace. When they arrived, he introduced her to Hegai, the king's most trusted keeper of the women, who was so struck by Esther's beauty that he felt sure she would be chosen to be queen. He immediately assigned 7 palace maids to care for her, and he gave her the best rooms in the house of the women. "Tell no one of your nationality or family background," Mordecai whispered to Esther as he hugged her goodbye. "We mustn't allow anything to spoil your chances of becoming queen." As the weeks passed, Esther looked more beautiful than ever, but many beautiful women were present who dreamed of nothing else than becoming queen. For her to be chosen above so many would be a miracle. As for poor Mordecai, he impatiently awaited news of his precious adopted daughter. He was certain that the king would choose her, but suppose he didn't? What would happen to her? Would he allow her to return home? Many women who had been introduced to the king were chosen to be his concubines, married to the king, yet only to be called into his presence if and whenever he was pleased to summon her by name. In fact, this would be true of the queen as well, since she would live in her own separate house and would only visit the king at his request. Each young lady underwent 12 months of purification before she would be allowed to meet the king. It was a long wait, yet Esther used this time to prepare her heart for whatever lay ahead. When the day finally arrived for Esther to meet the king, Hegai asked her what she desired to take with her. Before meeting the king, each girl was allowed to take whatever gift she desired from the house of women. Although Esther could have asked for anything, as did many of the other girls, she requested nothing but what Hegai recommended. Outside, Mordecai was waiting to catch a glimpse of Esther as she walked from the women's house to the royal throne room. The onlookers in the corridors gasped in wonder when she appeared. Many lovely young women had passed that way before her, but Esther was different. A unique loveliness radiated from within her. After King Ahasuerus saw her, he favored her above all the other women, and he set the royal crown on her head and made her his queen. As Esther stood beside the king, her mind rushed back through her life as a young girl. "How God has kept and protected me all these years," she thought. "Even when I had no parents and felt all alone, and things looked ever so dark, still God had a plan for me. If he could help me then, surely he will help me now when I need him most." To be continued. Adapted from Good Thoughts, copyright 1987, read by Jeremy. A My Wonder Studio production, copyright 2013, by The Family International.